Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
My personality was to blame.
Call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, wide open is Brooks. Boomer just threw that football up like it was on a hanger.
Host of Boomer and Geo, mornings on WFAN.
Hey, you see that Urban Meyer video?
Yo, I have not seen the video, no.
You saw the video. We all know you had to have seen that video, Joe. Come on. Anything else, Boomer, before we let him do his job?
I was just going to ask him about his defense.
1988 NFL MVP.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champions.
NFL All-Pro and four-time Pro Bowler.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Analyst for the NFL Today on CBS.
There's Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals. He's thrown for over 2,600 yards, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, complete the high percentage of his passes. He's the best quarterback in Cincinnati since Kenny Anderson.
You are on a roll already today. You insulted me 30 seconds.
It was a mistake, I swear.
Boomer Esiason with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
This hour of 670 The Score is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is that man, Boomer Esiason. What is wrong with Phil Simms, Boomer, to say that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with him. I have to work with him, and it's not easy. Somebody has to keep him in his place. But he always likes to take a shot at me once or twice during the show, and then I usually get him back somewhere along the line.
Okay, good, because that wasn't just an oversight. This is intentional. This is just giving you the business, because what are you, the new guy? You're the new guy or something? Yeah.
Well, Phil and I here in New York got this thing going on, and it works pretty good for us. And it's a little bit feistiness going back and forth. And he has to remind people he was a Super Bowl MVP. I have to remind people that I was a season MVP. And, 16 games counted more than one, but maybe not in his case.
So we had a third Sunday out of four with no Chicago Bears in this town, which is crazy and has to be a record. But in watching this, I just kept looking at Mac Jones. And are we now at a point where – and how much credit goes to him, how much credit goes to the system, and how much credit goes to just the entire Patriots thing?
Well, first and foremost, a lot of credit goes to him because he's the one that has to absorb all the knowledge, all the information, and he has to learn the game. And he's learning it very quickly, and he's a tremendous success. Now, but you have to understand that the New England Patriots rebuilt this entire team in the offseason. They spent $163 million in guaranteed money for guys like Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar, Matt Judon, all these players that are paying significant dividends for them. They kind of made their backfield a little bit. They also remade some of their offensive line. So they spent a lot of money. Now, you never know what you're going to get with one of these rookie quarterbacks, but I will say, and I said this at the beginning of the season, that if there was one rookie quarterback that was going to have success, it was going to be Mac Jones because of the experience on the coaching staff, the offense that Josh McDaniels runs, and the amount of money that they spent in free agency, not to mention the amount of players that they got back from the COVID list that they lost the year before. They lost 8 or 9 players to COVID the year before who opted out. So this team was ready to win. They just had to find the right guy to quarterback it. And when Mac Jones fell to them in the draft, it was like pure heaven for Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. And he has certainly answered every question that I could have ever had for him because he's only gotten better as the season's gone on.
So you're saying that if you're a Bears fan, you should not be right now having any sort of feelings that maybe they made the wrong choice, because I'm not going to name any names. Somebody on this show might be feeling that way right now.
Well, Chris, welcome to you. And I just want to say, if I would have known you were in today, I would have called in earlier as opposed to later. That I would have told you. I was trying to get Danny worn out before I called in today.
I got you.
But
I got you.
In reality, though, I would just say it's all about a situation, the right player, the right coach. And I mean, we all know that Belichick and Saban are really close. I'm sure Belichick was told by Saban just how good this kid, Mac Jones, really truly was. And when you watch Mac, you know, he doesn't run around like a maniac. He isn't trying to extend plays. He's trying to play the position the exact way that Tom Brady plays the position, and that is stationary. And if you're going to move, you're going to move ever so slightly one way or the other, but you're going to get rid of the ball, and it's going to be on time. And I'm sure with the quarterback to communication device, Josh McDaniels is constantly in his ear, reminding him about certain things that they talked about leading up to the particular game and how they're going to work the game plan. You know, the kid is really dedicated. You know, that's what everybody in New England says. I think we all realize by watching him just how poised he is. He's poised beyond his years. But they got a good team, man. You know, this defense has been one of the best, if not the best defense. In the last 6 weeks, they've only given up about 60 points. And yesterday, yeah, they got run on, but, you know, they didn't want to get beat by Ryan Tannehill because, you know, that's the only way they would have lost that game had Tannehill had a big game. And lo and behold, he had probably his worst game or maybe second worst game of the year against that defense. So they're a great team. It's a great organization. It's a great coaching staff, and they plucked the right guy out of the draft last year.
Boomer, I thought of you during Thanksgiving week because our colleague Hub Arkish here at The Score reported that what had happened a few weeks ago was George McCaskey made the decision and told Matt Nagy essentially to start Justin Fields, to go with Justin Fields instead of Andy Dalton, who was returning from the injury. And Matt Nagy denied it. On Friday morning, he brought it up himself, brought up the report and denied it. But frankly, I don't buy that. A lot of people don't buy it. And if that is what happened, does that fit what you have been saying for weeks about the politics of the situation?
Yeah, 100%. So the owners are very aware of what's being said. You know, fans not only call the radio stations and go on social media, they actually contact the team directly through their PR staff, through all sorts of different ways, writing letters, all sorts of ways. And also claiming that they'll cancel maybe their season tickets, or maybe there'll be a company or two that will give back their skyboxes. You know, these are all the ways that owners know what's going on out there. It's not just through word of mouth and the radio. So I do believe that there is a immense pressure to start these young kids early for all the wrong reasons. And the wrong reasons is to pacify a fan base that is upset and has been upset for a number of years because of the lack of, you know, consistent winning. So there's no question in my mind that, you know, if that's what Hub reported, he heard it from the horse's mouth, that I wouldn't be surprised. And, you know, I've worked with Hub for many years, and I wouldn't question, you know, his take on any of it. You know, and it's unfortunate what happened with Matt Nagy this week, by the way. I would never want to see a coach have to go through another week like Matt had to go through, and then, you know, supposedly going to be fired on Friday after the game on Thursday. When I heard that, I was like, this is ridiculous. This is not who the McCaskies are. This is not who the Bears are. They would never do anything like this. And that's why that report, when it initially came out, really did surprise me.
They would never, what, tell a guy that he's going to be fired and still ask him to coach a game a few days later?
Right, exactly. Well, I don't think they're going to fire anybody during the season. I mean, did they do that to John Fox? I don't think they did
no.
it to John Fox, did
no.
they?
No, they've never done it to anybody. Right, but you know, it could happen. It could still happen, and maybe it won't. But it's the... What is your take on how that played out? That was an incorrect report from Mark Conkle, the first guy from Patch.com. Is that what you figure?
Yeah, I don't know Mark at all, and I don't know. Okay. You know, I read about his. We all talked about it on NFL Today, and we talked about his legitimacy and everything. And everybody thought that he was a legitimate guy, and probably had some pretty good internal contacts. But those internal contacts obviously proved to be wrong, which is unfortunate for him, but really unfortunate for Matt Nagy. I mean, honestly, I know they get paid a lot of money. It's a job that you know when you take it, there's a very good job that in a short period of time, you're probably going to be fired. That's just the way it goes in this league, unless, of course, you find the quarterback that can rescue you. But I hate when stuff like that is being said. And I know we openly talk about it because you guys ask me about it, and I try to be as honest and unbiased as I possibly can about it and give you reasons why coaches may struggle or quarterbacks may struggle. And I think I've probably, you know, been at this spot on as anybody in when it comes to the struggles of all these young kids and also the coaches that are trying to coach them. But, you know, in this regard about Matt Nagy, there's no way the Bears are ever going to fire a guy in season unless there's something really, really that goes haywire, like a reason why you would fire a guy that would be something off the field, not because of what's happening on the field. That's not how the old guard in the NFL works. You know, they're more patient than the young guards and the guys that have paid billions of dollars for these teams. You know, the Browns family, the Rooney family, the McCaskies, the Fords, you know, they may make mistakes in hiring people, but they're not going to embarrass somebody in the middle of a season, I don't think.
You don't think there's an advantage with the new rule that allows you to interview assistant coaches of teams in week 17, week 18? I think we might see some in-season firings approaching.
Well, yeah, but I don't think the Bears will do it because I just don't think it's in their history. You know, I know it's hard to think this way because, you know, we are media types. We deal with fans' passions. I'm a passionate fan myself. You know, my New York Mets signed Max Scherzer today, and they spent $130 million, and I'm over the moon over that because I want to see one of the great pitchers of our time in real life, and it's going to be amazing. But when I think about the Bears, I think about a dignity that is attached to that family. Whether we want to make fun of the winning and losing, that's one thing. But I do believe that old guard families believe in dignity, and they believe in morals, and they believe in ethics. And they just don't do things impatiently. Like I said, they may make the wrong decisions. They'll ride with those decisions a little bit longer than normal. But I do believe that there is a professionalism and a dignity that's attached to the Bears. You know, this is a legacy franchise. Whether you guys like it or not, this is how I see it from where I sit. It's a legacy franchise. It's been around for a long time. There's a lot of history there. It may not be great history. I understand that. But, you know, it's still history. And they're going to act accordingly. And firing somebody in the middle of the season or an embarrassment to his family or to whatever the negative aspects to that firing would be, they're not going to go down that road. They just won't. I just don't see it.
Boomer, I know that you've been, or your mindset is to be more cautious with these young quarterbacks. And, you know, allegedly, as we've already talked about, the edict was given to Nagy to start Fields. Well, now that he's got the injury, and they've said they want him to be, I think the exact words were 110% before he comes back and plays again, you know, with the rib injury. What is the right way to handle him now? Is it to just give him the ball back as soon as he's ready to go, despite how Andy Dalton plays in his absence?
Yeah, you know, the Jets just did this with Zach Wilson, and Zach Wilson was brutal yesterday. He's still not ready. But they had to do it because they have two guys that have COVID. Well, one has COVID, Mike White, and the other one is unvaccinated, Joe Flacco, who's under COVID protocol because he's unvaccinated. So I guess they really had no choice but to give Zach the ball back. And watching him yesterday, and I watched every one of his throws, he's still not ready. I mean, he is just overwhelmed, and it is obvious to everybody. And he's going to put himself in danger again, and he's going to get himself hurt again. And this is the thing that I always worry about it because these kids, they don't understand the quickness, the ferocity of the NFL field until they actually step on it and they try to do some things. They put themselves into bad situations and they take hits that they probably shouldn't take. So, I think they're going to put him back out on the field if he's ready. If his ribs are ready to go, they'll put him back out on the field. I don't think it will be this week, but maybe the week after. You know, and sitting and watching a little bit never hurt anybody. And Andy Dalton still got a lot to prove, just like Joe Flacco did for the Jets a couple weeks ago. These guys could still play, but they're not going to excite the fan base like the way the rookie will. And I know the fan base is going to be pulling for Justin to get back on that field as soon as possible, which is the politics of the business. And that's just also the reality of the business.
So the L.A. Rams with three straight high-profile duds, although not quite a dud yesterday, losing at Green Bay, but still, three in a row. How do they right the ship? What the hell's wrong with the Rams as you watch him?
Well, how about Matthew Stafford? Three games in a row with three pick sixes. I mean, you know, that's unheard of. Nobody ever does that. And here's a guy that, you know, you've basically entrusted your entire franchise to, and he's supposed to be the difference maker. You know, and there's a little something about Matthew Stafford. I mean, you know, he's a good player. He's got a great arm. But is he going to be able to win? He's never won a playoff game. Is he going to be able to win in a high-profile, high-tense game? You know, and that's the real question. And I was watching Sean McVay on the sideline yesterday. He was about ready to eat his play sheet a couple times. Yeah. He was so angry and so frustrated at a couple of these mistakes. So they're going to make the playoff, I do believe. I think they're going to be a wild card. I think Arizona is going to win that division. But when the rubber meets the road, as they say, we're going to find out pretty quickly as to whether or not that was a huge mistake on the part of Sean McVay or they did the right thing. And the only way that they can do the right thing is if they go to the Super Bowl in their home stadium and win it like Tampa did last year.
I know the division is not very good at all, the NFC East. Dallas is on top. They're 7-4. They've lost a couple of games in a row. Is there any reason for them to be worried about their division?
Not after the ugly Giants beat the ugly Eagles yesterday. Maybe Washington can give them a little bit of a push like they did last year if they win tonight and beat Seattle. But, you know, Dallas has been hindered by a number of injuries, and now they're losing their head coach due to COVID for Thursday night's game. So they need to get Amari Cooper back. They need to get CeeDee Lamb back. They got to get the Marcus Lawrence back, and they got to get Randy Gregory back. They can still lose another game or two, and I still think they'll host a home playoff game. They'll probably be the number four seed in the NFC. But when they are healthy, they are going to be a bitch to play against, much like Tampa Bay last year. You know, Tampa wasn't healthy all year long. They took off after the 12th week of the season. They had to go on the road and then win a game or a couple games, you know, as the wild card. But once they got totally healthy, man, you saw a totally different team. And I think that's who the Cowboys are going to be once we get to the playoffs.
So Tampa's still the best team in the NFC? I mean, they've had their moments where it looks bad, but yesterday Tom Brady didn't have to do a whole lot against a decent defense there on the road.
I still think Green Bay is the best team, and I think that Arizona, if Kyler Murray comes back and he's healthy and he's going to start running around doing his thing again, those two teams are right there with Tampa. You know, and it certainly helps to have Rob Gronkowski back. You know, immediately they got him involved yesterday against Indianapolis. You know, I give my buddy Frank Reich a lot of credit. There are a couple times where he went for it on fourth down yesterday. You know, Coach Cowher screaming, kick the field goal, kick the field goal. I was like, Coach, he's playing against Tom Brady. You don't want to kick field goals. You want to go for touchdowns. And unfortunately for the Indianapolis Colts, who had a sack fumble, you had a muff punt, and you had an interception by Carson Wentz that ultimately cost them the game. But three turnovers, they were right there in the end. The Colts got a good team. I just think that Tampa's not as good as it was last year at the present time.
Hey, what do you look for, Boomer, when you're deciding whether a quarterback has it or not after he's been in the league a couple years? You must talk about Daniel Jones all the time. How long are you supposed to wait? How long are you supposed to wait for a quarterback to have a light bulb go on?
You know, I think they'll give most quarterbacks 3 years. They may give Daniel one more year here. There have been moments here where he really looks like he's got it. And when you look back to his rookie season, he is one of three quarterbacks who has thrown for over 300 yards and two touchdowns without any interceptions in a game. And he did it three times, I believe, or four times his rookie season. I think Justin Herbert did it five times. And the reason, you know, that's a big deal is because, you know, rookies aren't supposed to put those kinds of numbers up. And that's why everybody got so excited about Daniel Jones here 2 years ago. But that was under Pat Shurmur. That's whose offense was here. That's the offense they're running in Denver now. It's Joe Judge the last 2 years here, and they just fired Jason Garrett. So, you know, now Daniel Jones has got to deal yet with another offensive coordinator. This will be his third in 4 years. And I'm not so sure that they believe that he's the guy right now. He's making too many mistakes. He looks too fidgety, too skittish in the pocket for me. I've been very open, honest, you know, growing up with him here in New York the last 3 years. And I think that this year his performance has diminished significantly. And I think it may be because of the uncertainty around him. He may make somebody else look like a great coach somewhere else if he decides to leave New York or if they decide to move on from him.
You know, the Bills started the season 4-1, and then in the last 6 weeks now, they've alternated wins and losses. So what do you make of them?
You can't stop the run. You can't win a game in the NFL, especially in November, December, and January. know, everybody here in the Northeast, and I think the Midwest will all tell you the same thing, especially if you have an outdoor stadium. You got to be able to run the ball, and, you know, that's got to be one of your signature aspects of your team, but you also got to be able to stop the run on a consistent basis. And right now the Buffalo Bills have been exposed by both the Tennessee Titans and they were exposed by the Jonathan Taylor-led Colts. Interesting, next Monday night they play New England. New England is a run-first team, even though Mac Jones is having a great year. It's going to be really interesting to see how Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels attack this Bills defense. I think it will be run-first like it's been pretty much the entire year for them. And I would think that they're going to try to do exactly what the Indianapolis Colts went in and did to them a few weeks back. It'll be a tighter game because I don't think Josh Allen will make as many mistakes against a New England team that he knows very well as opposed to the Colts team that absolutely embarrassed him 2 weeks ago.
Hey, Boomer, you're the best, and our Thanksgiving gift to you was no Danny Parkins. So congrats. I hope you enjoyed it.
My Lord.
I always do, Matty. Thank you so much. And Chris, always great to talk to you. And tell Danny I said hello and I missed him.
We will. Thank you, Boomer. It's Boomer Esiason.
Okay, guys. See you guys.
We'll see you, man. Boomer Esiason from WFAN and from CBS Sports. I know.
You guys are brutal.
You have to dunk on the guy who's not here. I assume that I get dunked on a lot when I'm not here. I should, you know, and, you know, you miss day because you're sick, you know. You're just going to get pounded. That's how it works.
When I am in, Matt, I have never said anything bad about you.
I don't believe that.
That's true. Ask anybody. I've never said a bad word about you.
Ranger, one of my favorite sports stories of the weekend comes from the world of hockey. But it's not really about hockey. But you're going to love this if you missed it, and I bet you did. We'll do that next. Parkins and Spiegel with Ranji and for Danny on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.